the aftermath of the American War of Independence, the new United States found itself with a problem. Formed of the original 13 colonies, it was very much a maritime nation. All of its big cities were ports, most of its economy relied on trade, and given the vast distances for internal travel and the fact that steam trains were decades in the future, even internal movement of goods was best managed using coastal shipping. But, as a newly independent nation, it was shut out of the trade and shipbuilding network that it had been a part of when it had been under British rule. This caused a massive economic crash and forced the coastal cities to seek trade further afield, or else whither. The problem with this was pirates, especially the Barbary corsairs, who saw richly laden merchant ships without any naval protection as essentially free loot. The lack of any naval protection was due to a number of factors. For rather obvious reasons, the Royal Navy wasn't all that interested in helping out anymore, and at home a strong political element had pushed to get rid of a professional navy, arguing that everything militarily could be done using militias and small gunboats. The economic dip and the resultant lack of cash flow provided the perfect excuse, and thus in the latter half of the 1780s, there were no US warships available to guard US trade. In the early 1790s, the resumption of war in Europe meant that seizures of US merchant ships began to escalate as corsairs spread their influence and the various warring powers began to exert belligerent rights. Still, Congress was divided. Some felt that paying protection money to the pirates and negotiating with the various European powers was the best course of action, while others felt that this would only lead to ever-increasing demands for payment and other concessions, and all of this wealth would then just leave the country, whereas to maintain the country's honour as well as the shipbuilding industry, it would be better served to divert all that money into building a navy to guard the merchant ships. The latter faction just about managed to win the vote in 1794, and an act was passed to build 6 frigates. 4 with 44 guns and 2 with 36 guns, with a caveat inserted by the other side that building would stop if the corsairs were dealt with by other means. Initially, the plan was to build them all in Philadelphia, which was the premier shipbuilding facility at the time, but it was then suggested that the money might be more popularly distributed if the ships were then built in different ports, and this change was made so each frigate would be built in a different port. A temporary peace with the corsairs in 1796 brought work to a halt, but it was soon decided to complete the 3 ships that were closest to launch in any case, these ships being the United States, the Constitution, and the Constellation. Despite all these various delays, as well as various cost overruns, the 3 ships would be launched in 1797. And then the escalation of tensions with France, which resulted in the Quasi-War the following year, would see funds secured to complete the other 3, the Chesapeake, Congress, and President. However, a mixture of the various delays, the lack of funding, and several issues in procuring enough timber of the requisite quality led to the Chesapeake being redesigned from a 44-gunner to, after some debate, a 38-gunner, which the other 2 small frigates would also be re-rated to. While all the frigates would eventually carry upper deck 32-pounder carronades, they initially started with much smaller long guns, and the larger frigates had their main gun decks filled with 24-pounder long guns, while the smaller ones had to make do with 18-pounders, which was the more standard armament for 5th-rate frigates at the time. A combination of the use of live and white oak for the main structure of the ships in terms of their framing and planking, plus a fairly advanced internal design, meant that the vessels were strongly built and fast for the time, at least as long as they were trimmed correctly. One of the problems with building the ships in separate yards across the US East Coast was that each shipyard did things a little differently, and thus the rig and ballast setup that worked on, for example, the Constitution, would leave President with the approximate sailing capabilities of a barn, and so each ship would require fine-tuning in service by its captain. Due to the practices of the time, which rated a ship's armament by the number of gun ports that a ship possessed, the extensive upper deck armament meant that all 6 frigates had substantially greater short-range broadsides than their simple rating number would suggest. Now, carrying more guns than was rated wasn't exactly unusual at the time, But the sheer number of upper deck guns was uncommon. The precise armament of the ships would vary throughout their careers, as the guns would be removed entirely when the ship came into port for refit, and even in more transient visits, the various captains would often fine-tune the number and types of guns that they carried. Although seeing action alongside smaller US Navy ships in the Quasi-War, the ship's main claim to fame would come from their participation in the two Barbary Wars against the Corsairs and in the War of 1812, where, as the largest ships in the US Navy, they fought some of the most spectacular actions of the conflict with the Royal Navy. Two of the ships, the larger President and the smaller Chesapeake, would be captured during the War of 1812, but new construction and the capture of HMS Macedonian by the USS United States kept the US fleet numbers up overall. As time went on, the remaining frigates were kept in service or placed in reserve for around about another half century or so. Congress was the first to go, broken up somewhat early in 1834, followed by the Constellation in 1853. But the two remaining big frigates were still around, albeit on second line duties, at the time of the American Civil War. During this period, the United States was captured by Confederate forces when they seized what is now Norfolk Navy Yard, then known as Gosport, then was recaptured when Union forces retook the port, after which the ship was either broken up or scuttled, depending on your source, as being too worn out to be of any further use. Constitution would see out the conflict as a training vessel, and despite various narrow scrapes with being broken up herself over the years, she managed to survive long enough to become appreciated as a historic vessel and was subsequently preserved as a museum ship in the 20th century. She can be visited in Boston Harbor to this day as the second oldest commissioned warship in the world after HMS Victory and the oldest commissioned warship afloat. Although, weirdly enough, thanks to her numerous refits and rebuilds, the single greatest concentration of original timber from the six frigates can actually be found at Chesapeake Mill in the United Kingdom, which was constructed using a good part of the timbers from the captured Chesapeake back in 1820.
That's it for this video. Thanks for watching. If you have a comment or suggestion for a ship to review, let us know in the comments below. Don't forget to comment on the pinned post for dry dock questions.